This morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, reading verses 24 through verse 29 as we continue our studies in John. John chapter 20, reading verse 24 through verse 29. Let us hear the word of God. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here with your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." And we'll conclude there this morning this portion of the reading of God's Holy Word. You probably know the old saying about the glass half empty and the glass half full. Two people looking at the same glass of water, yet one is what we call an optimist, who looks at everything in a bright and positive way. He sees the glass half full. Just half a glass away from being full and having everything. The other, a pessimist we call him, he sees the glass half empty, just half a glass away from having nothing. And I think there's a lot of truth behind this, and I think there's something in Scripture to verify this. Some people always see the dark side of everything. Gloom and doom personalities, we shall call them. You know, if they go on a vacation, as soon as they get in the car, they say things like, "Do you think we'll have a wreck?" If they fly in an airplane, they say things like, "Do you think it'll crash?" If it rains, they think or say, "Do you think it'll flood?" If they eat in a restaurant, they say things like, "Do you think the food might be poisoned?" When they see reruns of the pictures of man landing on the moon, they say, "Do you think it's really true? You know, it could be a conspiracy. And the pictures on television prove nothing." Well, if you are a person like this, you have a friend in Doubting Thomas. The disciples all differed in their personalities, just like us. Peter was impetuous, quick to judge, quick on the trigger. John was more passive, more constant, stable, slow and deliberative. And Thomas, I call him the eternal pessimist. He tended toward despondency. He saw the worst in everything. And it was always kind of like, "Show me the money. Show me the money." And rightly, he deserves probably the name Doubting Thomas. The Bible tells us that he had a twin. We don't know anything about that. verse 24, one of the 12 called Didymus, which was not with them when Jesus came. That word Didymus means twin. Probably had another brother. The Bible tells us that in verse 25, that the other disciples were saying to him, who were witnesses of the resurrected Christ, that we have seen the Lord. The 10 apostles here probably, and others too. We've seen Him. He's alive. And Thomas responds in the negative, I don't believe it. I'll set my own standards for the proof. And I must see, not only must I see Him, but I must touch Him. Not only must I touch Him, but I must touch the holes in His hands, the hole in His side. I must feel them with my fingers. The place of the nails. And until I do that, I do not believe, I will not believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now for most people, sight would be enough. But not Thomas. He must fill the holes. The Bible tells us in verse 26 that 8 days later, and some believe that was probably the following Sunday, according to how Jews count days, that Jesus and Thomas were together in the same room. It tells us in verse 26 that the doors had been shut. After 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors having been shut. There's no open door. Probably in fear of the Jews, the doors were locked. There was no way for Jesus to come in, but Jesus simply appears in His physical body, miraculously. And He stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus was not bound by locked doors. Lock all the doors, close all the windows, make sure there's no way for Him to get in, and He will appear. In His resurrected body, He had that power. Notice that Jesus takes the initiative here. In verse 27, He said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here with your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." And one of the things I find joyful about this passage is that Jesus was gentle and loving with a weak and doubting Thomas. He does not rebuke Thomas. He does not ridicule Thomas. He does not deride Thomas. He says, "Thomas, feel." Not everybody's the same in this world. And not everybody in the church is the same. And we don't all have the same amount of faith. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. We're not clones of one another. Thank God. We're not clones of one another, but we have to learn to live with one another. And we're different. And Thomas was different. And Christ was gentle with him. The book of Hebrews says in chapter 5, verse 2, that Christ is a great high priest, and He can deal gently with the ignorant and the misguided. In 1 Thessalonians, we are told to encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Jesus is our model here of patience and gentleness with someone of whom others would scourge and derided and criticized. But Jesus gently says, "Reach here Put your fingers here. Put your hand here in my side, Thomas. And Thomas believed, my Lord and my God, you're alive. There was a higher threshold for Thomas. More proof was required. More patience was required of Thomas. But finally he believed. I want to point out another incident about Thomas. You know, one exception does not make a rule, but a pattern makes a rule. You start finding two exceptions, you begin to think that this was pretty much the nature of Thomas. If you look at John chapter 11, again dealing with the resurrection here of Lazarus, we see Thomas and his involvement, his comments in regard to Jesus' resurrection of Lazarus. In chapter 11, in verse 11, and this he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of his sleep. And the disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Now, it doesn't take too much to decipher here that Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Let's go raise him from the dead. But then there's Thomas and his remark, which I find very interesting. Verse 16, therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go so that we may die with him. Where'd that come from? I've read that passage over and over, and I can't quite figure out why he said that. I mean, we're going to raise Lazarus from the dead. It's going to be a joyous occasion. And Thomas said, well, let us go so that we may die too. I mean, that's the way he looked on everything. Thomas does not see the resurrection. Thomas sees death. We're all going to die. Where'd you come up with that idea, Thomas? Out of the sky, it's totally inappropriate. It simply reveals more about who you are than what Jesus is going to do. It's like going to celebrate a birthday party and somebody says, it's going to be awful because we're going to eat that cake and we're all going to get sick and die. Talk about seeing a glass half empty. Thomas was so pessimistic, he did not even see the glass. Was he always that way? Well, it seems like it was characteristic of him. Doubting Thomas, maybe depressing Thomas. You know, he's not the kind of guy you like to run around with too much, right? I mean, we like to run with optimistic, hopeful, positive people. We don't like to run with people who are always seeing tragedy around every corner. The Bible tells us that Thomas was not there with all the other disciples when Jesus first appeared. I don't know. This is purely speculation, but, you know, he's not the kind of guy you want to run around with too much. But God used his doubt to encourage us. Another thing that shows the goodness of our God. It's interesting how John picks up on this in 1 John 1:1. He says, what we have seen from the beginning, speaking of Christ, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life, that is Jesus Christ. And you know, maybe when he said what we have touched with our hands, he might have been thinking of Thomas. Jesus had to tell Mary Magdalene, stop clinging to me. Jesus had to tell Thomas, touch me. Thank God Christ is patient with our weaknesses, the quirks in our personalities, though sometimes they are in left field. They have no clue what's going on. They have no clue. You know, when I was in college, I felt so dumb, I was afraid to ask questions in class because I thought everybody would just see how dumb I was. This guy has no clue. But a good teacher will be compassionate and patient. Jesus recognizes the challenge it is to believe. In verse 29, he says, because you have seen me, have you believed? You know what, Thomas? A lot of people going to live who will never see me, and they won't have the opportunity like you've had to touch the nail holes in my hands and the spear's hole in my side. They won't have the opportunity to touch and feel. You know, he's alive. But they will believe anyway. And blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. They're really blessed. You're blessed, Thomas. Because you've had the opportunity to talk with me, to walk with me. You know how the Oko song go, we walk with him, we talk with him, and all this kind of thing. Well, they walked with him, they talked with him, they touched him, they held him. They were there. And sometimes I could wish I were there. I wish I could have been there to see Jesus who had died and he was alive. But I was not there. You were not there. It would have made believing easier. But we have to depend on the others who saw. And that's more challenging. Jesus recognized that. It will be a greater challenge for those who have not seen me and touched me. But they still believe. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, and though you have not seen him, you love him. That's amazing. You know, that's amazing. You have not seen him, but you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's what Peter said. Faith is by the grace of God, but still Jesus commends those who believe and yet never did see the resurrected Christ. To see is to believe. Not to see is even greater believing. Jesus uses the importance of seeing in other parts of Scripture where men's faith tend to waver. Seeing is important. Touching is important. Sight helps us in our weak faith. Jesus says, here, look and see. In Matthew chapter 6, 25, you know, when we have problems believing that that God is going to provide for us and take care of us. And we think sometimes that God must not love us because we're so doubting, and we have a problem with worry and anxiety, and these things seem to overcome us. And Jesus speaks of that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And I'm just going to show you one of the things He recommends. One of the things He recommends when we find ourselves in that situation is in verse 25 of chapter 6. He says, "Look." Chapter 6, verse 26. "Look with your eyes. If you're worried about your life, what you shall eat and what you shall drink and what you shall put on, look. Look at the birds of the air. Watch them. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much worth more than they are?" Verse 28, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these." You know, that's we overlook that sometimes, but I think that what Jesus is saying is that use your eyes and use your hands and look and feel. Observe. Now, if I were in a liberal church, I was raised in somewhat of a liberal church, we'd all just go outside and touch the flowers, you know. But we're not in a liberal church, okay? But there is something to looking, to watching. Just like with Thomas, there is something to feeling, touching. Worry and anxiety, food, clothing, and shelter, our future. There's a lot to worry about. Life is so complicated today. It takes so much to live. The economy seems to be going sour. Politics is depressing. The future of our nation does not look good. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our health. We worry about our health insurance. We worry about our children. We're a little bit like depressing Thomas. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Look. Go outside and look. That bird feeder you have in the backyard, watch him." Have you ever seen a bird starving to death? Dehydrated? Observe the lilies of the field, how well dressed they are. Observe, watch, touch. The point is, weak faith sometimes needs help. What does Jesus recommend? Touch. Watch. Observe. Just like Thomas. That's one reason we take our children on field trips as part of their education. We take them to zoos and we say, you know, touch. Touch the animals. They're real. They're not just in books and pictures. They're real. Believe. We go to Rocky Mount to the Living Historical Tour. We go to President Andrew Johnson's house in Greenville. And we get a touch and a feel for history. We see the instruments that they used. And Christ uses this methodology with the weak. Not everybody needs that. Not everybody needs to touch and to feel as much as others. Are you unsure? Are you worried? Are you anxious? Are you having trouble believing what God says? Go outside, watch the birds and study the flowers. Touch and feel and see and observe and believe. Another place in Scripture where Jesus tells us to touch and to, in a sense, taste is in the Lord's Supper. He says, "Eat drink. This is my body. Why do we eat and drink? When we see the baptism of a child, we see the water. What do we see? We see that there's a cleansing that needs to be done. God says, and He put into the church, into His church, the sacraments which are touch and feel and see. For those of you especially who are weak, it reminds us of the blood of Christ which cleanses us from all of our sins. And I think the Lord gave us the sacraments because we are weak. And we need to be reminded by touching and seeing and tasting. Thomas, feel. Taste. Believe in God. Are you like doubting, depressing Thomas? Every time you go somewhere, it's... Well, we could all get killed before we get home. You know, you're going on a big vacation and everybody's happy, and all of a sudden somebody in the back seat says, "You know what? We could all die before we get home." Well, thank you. You just made our vacation a great experience, right? Some of us are like that. We have to be patient. We have to encourage. We have to be like Jesus was with Thomas, who said, "You know what? Unless I touch and feel, I will not believe. I will not believe." And Jesus said, "Thomas, touch and feel." Blessed are you, Thomas, but blessed are those who have never seen me and yet they still believe. Jesus Christ is alive today. He was a dead man. We know He was dead. But He has risen from the dead. He has died as a substitute for our sins. And His resurrection proves that everything He said is true. And if you believe that with all your heart, mind, and soul, God has blessed you greatly. Give Him thanks today. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You are patient with us. That You were patient with Thomas. Lord, we are weak. You are strong. We do have faith, and sometimes that faith is small. Lord, increase our faith. Enable us to see and observe and to watch, to touch and taste and feel, that we might believe in the goodness of our God. We thank Thee, O Lord, that You have risen from the dead, that You have overcome the grave, You have overcome sin, and You have overcome death. And because You live, we too shall live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.